And welcome back in. Hour number four, Morning Drive on this Wednesday on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is great to be with you. We are broadcasting live inside of the Ford Ice Center as we take you up until 10 o'clock. A lot to get to. We'll talk to Rick Bird in a couple of minutes. We've got On Tap Tonight later this hour as we just wrapped up Stick to Sports. And I got to tell you, man, those pancakes that I just had for breakfast and the eggs –
Ford Ice quickly becoming my favorite place on the planet. We're going to do lots of fun things after the show. We'll be some video of us curling. Derek Mason, of course, curling. We'll see what that looks like.
It's going to be so fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited about it. So, especially obviously, come out here that you can get. They got the bar. They already have the breakfast thing open and ready to go. You got the concession stand going. People are figure skating. People are playing hockey. It's awesome, an awesome place to come down and hang out. And I cannot think of a better thing to do. Like, if you and your boys are looking for something to do in the afternoon, come down and curl, man. How cool is that?
No, it's going to be really fun. And obviously, you'll see all the video of it on all of our social media pages, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, station website, thegamenashville.com. So stay tuned for that. We'll get to Rick Bird in a moment. Actually, Rick Bird is just joining us now. He's ready to go. We welcome in the head coach from Belmont Basketball, Mr. Rick Bird. Rick, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Good morning to you.
So let's get your thoughts. Obviously, sitting there on 22 wins coming down the stretch here in the Ohio Valley Conference. What are you looking for from your team in the final few games before you head into postseason play?
Well, we have two games left, and we're tied for the conference lead with Murray State. You know, even though it gets lost in the shuffle anymore when you talk about March Madness and going to the tournament, I still think a regular season conference championship is a real important accomplishment. And actually, I think it's a bigger and better accomplishment than winning that tournament. It doesn't mean as much. It doesn't get you as much. People don't remember it as well. But 18 games. So we go to Jacksonville State Thursday night and Tennessee State at home on Saturday, and that's the two teams that have beaten us. So it's a big week for us.
Coach, you just said the regular season championship is more valuable. I think you and I have talked about this before, but is the hay already out of the barn on the automatic bid and the conference tournament? Will there ever be a moment in time, 5 years, 10 years, 100 years from now, where we look at college basketball and we see conferences decide to give its automatic regular season champion the bid so that it gets its best team into the tournament? Do you think that's ever going to happen, or is the hay out of the barn?
I think the only way that it would happen would be if they expand the field and they decide that all conferences should have that situation where perhaps both people get in, or just one if it's the same team that wins both. You know, I think they'd have to go to 128 or something like that before they would include that many more mid-majors in the field. But as it is now, if it stays limited, and I'm not against limited, you know, basketball is a tournament game, and we can say all that we want to, but we've had some spectacular moments in the championship game of conference tournaments that people have talked about, that every Belmont fan will remember, every player and coach. You know, a few years ago when Taylor Barnett hit the three to beat a really, really good Murray State team, and it was a game, I don't remember the final, but it was in the 80s or 90s, and you know, I heard from people all over the country about how that was the best college basketball game they'd seen all year long. All that would kind of go by the wayside, I guess. So I get it. I think everybody gets it, but it's a tournament game.
Yeah, Coach, I would love to see, because that's the dilemma that I think some of the mid-majors, a lot of them get into, where, you know, sometimes your best team don't win your tournament, and then now – they are out of the field of, 64, 65. And that, to me, is not fair when you have a Belmont team and a Murray State team. Both teams are excellent teams. Both should get in based upon their record and who they've beaten throughout the season. So I think that's wrong, and it's to me, it needs to change. Now, Coach, when you look at your season, you've had a very long season. You talked about the two games You have remaining on your schedule before tournament play. How do you keep your guys engaged for the full season? Because I've never been in a situation where I played this many games, but even playing, you know, 16 games, there's right. a period in time where, you know, the coach has to say something or do something to keep you in line with what the goal truly is for the end of the season.
No, that's probably the biggest part of coaching, I think. You know, you can look at this season, and there's not a team that hasn't had its moments where they simply weren't, you know, use whatever terminology you want, but not ready to play that game and got beat. I mean, Villanova loses at home to St. John's, who hadn't won a conference game. They were number one in the country. I think Virginia lost at home to Virginia Tech, and that may be the best two teams in the country. We all have those moments that we fight, and you know, almost every day, mm-hmm. I'm saying something to our team about why we need to be ready for this practice, but certainly for this next game. And you know, Tennessee State had a great run going, and then Eastern Kentucky, who'd only won three conference games, beat them over there Saturday night. You know, everybody they've all got Division I players, mm-hmm. And you let your guard down at all, and you're going to lose a game that you are, quote-unquote, supposed to win.
Coach, the new quadrant system, what is your opinion on the committee going to – I guess it's giving more favor to some road wins versus some neutral site wins. Are you in favor of the new way the committee is looking at resumes?
You've gone beyond my pay grade now. You know, I just vaguely know what they're doing. I don't think it really impacts us. I mean, we've had some teams that would have been at-large teams. This team's not going to be there. We've had some really nice wins and some really quality close losses to good teams, but we've also had some losses that are going to keep us. It is a mid-major, and Illinois State was a perfect example of that last year. You just can almost not afford any mistake. Middle Tennessee State's sitting on that right now. I think most people would have them as an at-large. But if they lost one of these three home games yeah. they've got coming, they probably don't. We were able to go down there and beat them. That they've overcome that. I mean, I think we're a decent team, and I don't think that's a terrible loss. But it's a loss to a mid-major at home, and I don't think they can afford anything else. And that's too bad because I think they are worthy of that. You know, it just doesn't impact us. I like it when the committee and NCAA basketball keep looking at the metrics and what seems to show who the best teams are and why they're the best teams. I think the RPI is, becoming a little less important in the whole say-so. But I'm going to leave that up to guys that know a lot more than I do.
We're talking to Rick Byrd, head coach of Belmont basketball. Rick, let me ask you this. You know, you're a mid-major program, and obviously this year nationwide, one of the themes of the college basketball season has been just how wide open this tournament could be. As a mid-major, when you look at it, is it more wide open than you can ever recall? And could you see a handful of double-digit seeds making a deep push in the tournament?
That's a good point. I don't know if the 11 and 12 and 13 seeds are going to be closer to the 5, 4, and 3s or whoever they would be playing than in the past. We've struck out 7 times in this tournament, wish that could change. But the reality of it is we're either a 13, 14, or 15, usually a 14 or 15. We're playing a top 15 team in the country. That's a really, really hard win. I do think that there are more teams that can win the tournament. I think you probably could get close to the double-digit seed in teams that would be capable of making a run and winning the whole thing. So that's kind of a sideways answer to your question, I guess.
We got it. Rick Byrd, head coach, Belmont Basketball. We appreciate the time. Best of luck in the final two games, and we'll talk to you next week, Coach.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Rick Byrd joining us here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, when we come back, Louisville Basketball, their title has been vacated. Does that punishment work? We will discuss on Morning Drive right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And welcome back into Morning Drive on this Wednesday here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the Ford Ice Center. Nick Kale, Braden Gall, D-Mace.
Bunch of children broadcasting from
Chase.
The Ford Ice Center.
I lost.
We had two guys playing bubble hockey during the break.
And I lost.
I think these two little guys over here that look like they're about 3 years old that are getting dressed to go skating, I think they're more mature than us.
I scored on D-Mace.
He did score.
And he's upset.
Well, D-Mace never played defense his whole life.
You're right about that. Yeah.
It's all good.
I did play in high school, though.
It's true. You got to play both ways in high school.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah.
What'd you play in high school?
Safety.
Safety?
Yeah. Yeah. I was a good safety.
Wide receivers don't want to go into the box.
That's a good safety.
We don't like playing.
I was free safety.
Did you get recruited at all as a safety?
Nah. Nope.
Nothing.
Nah. No.
Wow.
Nothing.
So Michigan State is a wide receiver.
Yeah.
But you're good at safety, not even like a Division II school at safety? Nothing?
Well, it's not really that different than the NFL draft. At that level, you're recruiting a guy to play. Like, if he's good at one thing, you're going to get him to do that thing.
Yeah.
You're going to train him to do that thing, and you're going to be – It's defense now. I mean, I don't know about you. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're in high school, you have to play both sides. But defense is so instinctual. It's so reactionary. It's almost like a different skill set.
Yeah.
Than offense, where it's you know exactly where you're going to be, when you need to be there, and that's your whole job as a receiver is to get to where you need to be. And playing safety, it's just like you got to have natural sort of reactionary read and react. It's just so much more amorphous. I don't know. Defense is way way tougher, I think, to play than offense.
So we were talking early in the, I think it was the second hour before D-Mace got here, about the Louisville basketball title being vacated from 2013. Rick Pitino, they're going to basically act as if it never existed. I want to get, Derek, your thoughts on that, because to me, you can sit there and you can pull down banners, you can put asterisks in a record book, all that stuff. It doesn't take away the fact that they won a championship on the floor. As a former player, does that have any... Like, does that have any impact or bearing on what you guys actually accomplished?
You never want what you've worked so hard for to be stripped away, ultimately in the end. So, yes, it does mean something, but I think in the end, I mean, it's not like I can see if it like baseball, for instance. I don't blame the players, because MLB knew what was going on. They just chose not to do anything because people were into it, ratings. But if I'm taking steroids, or if my whole team's taking steroids, and we're beating people, we have a advantage physically. So if they find out and strip us of our championships, then okay, I'm fine with that. We deserved it because we did something to enhance our ability to play the football game. Now, if said guy, like the Reggie Bush situation, if it's something off the field that had nothing to do with me on the field, especially if it's another guy, then no, I don't think our win should be vacated. I don't believe that Pitino's win should be vacated. It's not going to do anything with his standings as a Hall of Fame coach. He's still in the Hall of Fame. People know that those guys still won the championship. Nothing that they did on the court, nothing that they did off the court affected on the court.
And I don't know how you can say that, because they don't have the players on that team that they have without all the cheating to get to the player. So, you know, awesome player A, whatever he is,
yeah.
You know, whoever it is. You know, Donovan Mitchell just won the dunk contest. He's a Louisville player. Whatever, whoever it is, to win a championship in basketball or football, you got to get great players.
Uh-huh.
And it's not fair if I'm cheating to get all those players to come to my campus, and Nick's coach of another school, and he's not doing the same. I'm breaking all the rules to get those players to come to my team, and then I go win a championship, and Nick's not breaking any of the rules and his team doesn't win the championship, Nick has a beef because I've broken the rules that enhanced my ability to win games.
But we're graduating our players.
Exactly. But if we're all getting five-star players, everybody's getting the same player, same type player, maybe different size from a different background, but we're all getting A1 players or A2 players. So me getting two A1 players and you getting two A1 players, just because I got one and two and you got three and four, it shouldn't be held. It shouldn't be held against me. You see what I'm saying?
No, see, because I follow you on the steroid thing. Like you've affected my ability to perform versus you on the field. I've affected that. But if I'm a sucky player versus a really good player, that's also affected your ability to win.
But
on
okay,
the field.
Who did? Who
and
did
Louisville went and got
who did
a bunch of players?
Louisville beat what? Duke
Michigan,
that year?
Michigan. So the point is if Michigan was totally clean and on the up and up, and I'm not suggesting that's the case because I think all these programs cheat, but that's not the – just because everybody cheats doesn't make it right. I mean, like everybody can be cheating, and we can all say, oh, it's not really
that big
deal.
Might be the better cheater.
But you're still breaking the rules. And so I think one question is, did they gain an advantage? Uh-huh. The other question is, do we care if they vacate the title? And I don't care if you vacate the title because everybody in Louisville history knows what happened. They all watched the game that night.
That's why I said it really doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, in the end, they're going to – we know Louisville won a championship. We know Coach Pitino has 700 wins. I mean, nobody's going to vacate. They're going to vacate the wins. But he's still a Hall of Fame coach. Yeah. It's not like they're going to remove him from the Hall of Fame because that happened. Yeah.
We all saw Reggie Bush walk up on stage, accept the trophy, and give a speech.
Exactly.
Like, we saw that happen. You can't take that away. And I always use the Auburn example, and I used this earlier in the show. Auburn fans are not going to care at all if all of a sudden 5 years from now it comes out that Cam Newton was paid $500,000 to go to Auburn and they won the title in 2010 and then NCAA goes, yeah, but we're not going to recognize that championship, which technically they don't do anyway because it's a BCS thing and they outsource their championship, which is a totally different discussion for another day. If that Auburn title is taken away, you think Auburn fans care at all?
No, they don't.
They live the moment. They won the game. They have the championship memories to fall back on. And we all saw what happened. Auburn was the best team in 2010. That's it. We saw it. And Louisville was the best team in 2012 or 13. It doesn't mean that they didn't get there by cheating the competitive balance system. And if that's the case, if they cheated to affect the competitive balance of the sport, then there needs to be punishment for that. I just don't know what punishment vacating wins and titles really does to you. You take away scholarships and you take away money. Then people will start paying
attention. That's the only way you're going to hurt
people. That's the only way you're going to hurt people.
I just don't think there's anything in sports from a cheating standpoint that gets fans irate anymore.
No,
I mean,
they're not.
We're going back to a point now where you go back to the 1919, was it the
Black Sox.
The Black Sox. Yeah. So you're on 100 years of scandals, cheating, performance-enhancing drugs, paying players under the table, boost. I mean, it's all been done a million times before, so we're at a point where we're almost immune to it now. Like, it's kind of the norm. It's what's expected, right?
Well, and I think what's interesting about the steroids, if you talk about steroids in baseball conversation, people, like, it's one thing for Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds to do it because they were already great players when they did it, and we sort of go, well, why did you do that? And Barry probably did it because he was jealous of Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa getting all the love and all the lights and all the spotlight and the money. But if you ask, like, let's think about, especially from the poor Latin countries, if you're a star shortstop prospect and you're living on a dirt floor in Venezuela or Haiti, wherever, and you got four brothers and sisters and you got no money in your family, and someone, some scout comes to you and says, here, take this pill. It's illegal. It's steroids. But I'm gonna sign you to a $28 million contract. It's never been a question of why he did it. Mm-hmm. Like, you can change your family's fortune forever by taking a little pill and being a better shortstop, and all of a sudden you're signed to the Yankees and you're playing in the minors and you make $8 million on a signing bonus, and all of a sudden your mom and your family is now in the States in a great house, in a great neighborhood, and you've changed your family's history forever because you might have taken a pill you shouldn't have. Like, people are like, well, why would you do that? I'm like, what do you mean, why would you do that? You just got your family out of poverty. Of course you did it. It makes total sense. So it's not like with the Louisville FBI scandal. If somebody offers you $100,000 and that's life-altering money to go to a school, I never question the motives. It doesn't make it right, but I don't question the motives as to why somebody does it.
I'm not blaming the person that takes it. I'm blaming the person that offered it because they know why. What you did was you basically went after an individual because you played on his lack of resources. You said, okay, I got this kid, right. this 18-year-old right. kid. Black, white, it don't matter. 18-year-old kid, his family is working, you know, paycheck to paycheck. Yep. I can offer him $100,000 to go to said college. He's going to take it because it helps him economically. So I don't blame the guy that took it. I blame the guy that offered because you knew it was wrong.
And this is there's overlap here between two different scandals with
Louisville, exactly.
right? I mean, there's two different scandals here. One's related to one thing and one's related to another. And I get all of that. And it's the other thing is these assistant coaches that are funneling people to agents, mm-hmm. that's actually morally wrong. Like what you're doing is you're potentially hurting a student athlete mm-hmm. by saying, No, don't pick the best agent for you, man. Pick the best agent for me.
Exactly.
And that's where I start to go, man, you're not helping the kid anymore, you're just helping yourself. And that's a totally different subject mm-hmm. because the guys who are these go-betweens between agents and the NBA teams and the draft, like those are the sleazeballs. Those are the ones that are like, hey, I'm not going to do what's best for you, but I want you to invest all that lottery money you're going to sign with this guy over here because I'm going to get a cut of it. Mm-hmm. That's to me is where you lose me, and I get real upset about it.
615-737-1025. We've got On Tap tonight coming up in about 20 minutes. But when we come back, Eddie George with some interesting quotes on Derrick Henry. Stay tuned. And welcome back into the Ford Ice Center on this Wednesday. It is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Cale, Braden Gall, D-Mace Chase, the whole crew is here. And we bring in the general manager of the Ford Ice Center, Danny Butler, is joining us for a couple of minutes. Danny, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
What's going on? Tell us about the establishment. What do we got going on today?
Well, we have a lot of cool stuff going on today. We have a little bit of curling. We have some figure skating. And a little bit of everything, a little hockey too.
So the curling thing, obviously, we're going to do some of that a little bit later on. And we were just talking during the break. First of all, I think it's one of the few things that everyone who watches the Olympics thinks that they can do. Unlike everybody else, we're like, yeah, we can't wait to come out and try it. We obviously are going to fail miserably. but you guys are now creating a chance for people to come do it. And it's not just during the Olympics, right?
No, you know, we're going to keep it going. You know, our original plan was only to do it for kind of the month of the Olympics or through the middle of March. But the success we've had, we sold out every single slot we have for it.
Oh, it's awesome.
Which is incredible, which is over 400 slots of curling because it is people who wanted to do it. And I was talking to Sean Henry right before we get on, and he kind of gave me the go-ahead to purchase everything and keep it going for as long as we can. So we'll do a little bit of a tournament on March 10th. Details will come out this week, but kind of an overnight fun. They're actually called Bonspiels, I uh-huh. believe.
Bonspiel?
A Bonspiel.
Is it like in a curling tournament?
It's a curling tournament.
A Bonspiel.
A Bonspiel.
It sounds delicious.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so it'll be a lot of fun. We'll just keep it going, but it's been wildly successful because it is something that I think everybody thinks they can do and can kind of do. Mm-hmm. Everyone can throw darts. Everyone can play shuffleboard. Everybody can play horseshoes. And it's kind of the same thing because you don't have to know how to ice skate. It's just on ice.
D-Mace is happy about that.
Yes, very much so. Now, when did this idea become something that you guys say, okay, did it happen right before the Winter Olympics, or was it something that you guys have been thinking about for the longest and now that Winter Olympics is here and it's a big thing, so let's do it now and really run with it?
Well, it goes back actually 4 years. When the building was under construction, was the last Olympics.
Okay.
And so we put out a, hey, what do you guys want to see here at Ford Ice? And almost every other thing we saw was, hey, curling, curling, curling. Now I think part of it was the Olympics. And we weren't open yet, so we didn't open until August. And then right before this Olympics, we're like, all right, we're going to do this. Let's see if we can make it work. We had a hard time finding all the equipment. It's a lot more difficult to find than expected. But then there was just a father and son out in Minnesota who had the equipment. They were willing to rent it to us. So a couple weeks before, an intern was able to get in touch with them and made it happen. So
what's the hardest – like, is the stone itself the hardest thing to go find, like, as far as the equipment goes? Like, what's –
Yeah,
what makes it so hard to find?
I just don't think a lot of people own it, right? I mean, you brought your own skates and hockey stick today, so everyone has a little bit of equipment. Where this is so unique that, you know, nobody's walking around with 45 pounds of stone in their backyard. Nobody's moving them across the country when it's time to move. So I think that's what makes
45 pounds is what each one weighs?
I think they're actually 42.
42?
But close enough.
Good
to 45.
Lord.
Yeah, and they're all the same. They all come from the same mine in I think, just north of Ireland. So
what?
Yeah, Scotland. You know, so it's crazy. The whole sport's unique. You know, it's very laid back. There's no judges in the sport until you get to the Olympics. So,
Well, and the Canadians are devastated now.
Right.
Because that's like the first time they haven't medaled ever in the history of their sport, and they got knocked out, and now it's like the whole country's on depression alert.
I know. It's, it happens, I guess.
Now, Danny, before you go curling or before you do any type of ice hockey or skating, you got to get fueled up properly, right?
Absolutely.
You got to get your nutrition. I got to tell you, those pancakes, they were pretty ridiculous in a good way.
Having breakfast here, I think, is one of the best things we've ever done. You know, I went to a rink in New Jersey one day, and I'm from New York originally, so a breakfast sandwich is always good to have.
Mm-hmm.
And they had great breakfast sandwiches. I came down, I was like, we should have breakfast. Like, why not? How easy is it to make pancakes? They're fresh. They're better than, you know, anything you're getting else around here. So it's fun. It's good.
Mm. There's literally everything. Guys, come on down. The curling slots, it sounds like, are filled up in the short term, but you're going to open up a bunch more for, I guess, the coming months or whatever.
Yeah.
And you got beer. You can come down here, have a beer, bring your buddies down on a Saturday, bring the family down. Don't give your kids the beer. That'd be bad. But obviously a ton of fun and a ton to do here, not just the curling.
I'm educating myself on curling as we speak. curling 101, the rules of curling.
Oh, so basically
now, is there heckling? Is there heckling allowed in these, what is it, Bonspiegels?
Bonspiels.
Bonspiels. Is there heckling allowed in that?
You know, I think it's a lot like golf. I think it's more of a gentleman's sport.
Okay.
You know, so maybe after the game when you are drinking a beer. Now, we do have tables set up on the ice.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, because it is a lot like bowling, you know, maybe you have a beer.
Our boss is right there. We can get approval for beer drinking very fast.
We cannot violate the hog line, okay? Just remember that, hog line.
The hog line?
Yeah, violations.
What the heck is that?
Don't worry about it. I got it on
I guarantee there's no chance the three of you even make it to the hog line.
I take that as a challenge. I like that. What the heck is a hog line?
That's where you have to release the stone by the time you get to
exactly.
the hog line.
Exactly, yeah. Or the penalty.
So you're saying so the difficulty of the sport is from the beginning of the push off to the release
and you can't
point
touch
the
stone.
Line, you're saying that we can't even get to that point?
No, I don't think you
can. Now I'm
challenge.
My anxiety levels just went through the roof.
By the end of your hour, whatever you guys are going to be out there, you'll be able to do it. But the first 17 times,
17.
Expect to fall over.
Oh, I like it. I like this. Yes. This is going to be fun.
Danny Butler, the general manager, Ford Ice Center. Ford Ice Center is a 90,000 square feet twin sheet state-of-the-art facility offering hockey, figure skating, and ice skating for all ages, as well as stupid radio hosts that want to try curling and make themselves look completely silly.
Absolutely.
Anything else you wanted to mention?
Yeah, hey, this weekend we have a lot of really cool things coming up. Just to finish off the Olympics, we're doing Preds practice out here on Saturday, so from 12 to 2 o'clock, open to the public, first come, first serve. I recommend getting out here pretty early for that because it will fill up. And then Saturday night we're doing public skate at Bridgestone Arena. So you can skate on the big ice. Come out there. You have to register.
Cool.
So go to either, FordIceCenter.com. Or our Twitter or social media or Facebook page and to register for that. So a lot of cool things.
Do y'all have those things that – those helper things?
The walkers?
Yeah, y'all have those walkers?
We actually use buckets so we can get them taller or shorter for people.
Okay,
so
perfect.
We definitely have
something. I can come out there then. Yeah.
So you need training wheels is what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm not ashamed to say it.
Okay.
I don't want to be that guy or girl that falls on the ice. I've seen it. Somebody fell on the ice with the – guys had the what you call it set up on the side of Bridgestone,
The
rink set up on the side of Bridgestone, and the lady fell on her face, busted her lip.
Oh.
I said that won't be me.
Well, it makes for a lot better content on the show though if you fall. So
no,
can we just record
that.
It? You fall a couple of times.
Why don't Nick fall? He's the new guy.
I'll fall. I don't care.
Why not?
He's the Philly guy. He
exactly. All right, Danny, we appreciate you stopping by. I see you got the Predators polo on. Big Preds guy?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been with the team for about 7 years now, so what a win last night. What a win the night before. Yeah. Yeah, we're hot right now.
All right, so trade deadline prediction, any big moves?
You're asking an employee.
Yeah, he's like,
I love
my team.
We've already made that big move, right? You know,
yeah.
Tours
yeah.
in November. I mean, I don't know you get much bigger than that.
I agree.
You going to guarantee the Stanley Cup right now?
I wish I could, dude. I'm so excited.
Lock it in. They will make the Stanley Cup Finals again. Coin flip against the East, but they are a lock to win the West. You heard it here first.
Lock it in.
All right.
Mark the tape.
Danny Butler, Ford Ice Center General Manager. We appreciate you stopping by. Thanks,
so much, guys. Man. I really appreciate it.
Yep. All right, you got it. All right, guys, so I wanted to mention one thing. We were talking about Eddie George before we started this little segment here. I want to get your thoughts on this, D-Mace, because Eddie George said that he's ready to see Derrick Henry get his chance. Here's the quote. He's got to get more opportunities. He's got to be given an opportunity to be the guy and allow the game to come to him as opposed to him trying to show improvement and make something big happen and show that he's worthwhile in the league. Your thoughts right now, is Derrick Henry going to get that opportunity, or if they bring in a McKinnon or they draft another type of running back, is that something that they will, you know, maybe hamper Derrick Henry this year?
I thought last year he was the guy. I thought they gave him ample opportunity last year to be the guy. I don't understand sort of that comment. Now, if it was the year prior, then yes, I can see, you know, that comment being relevant to giving him an opportunity to, you know, show what he can do. But this past season, I thought they gave him every opportunity in the world
to
be the guy. You know, he had, you know, 176 carries, almost, you know, 800 yards. He averaged 4.2 yards a pop. I think he did at times, but I think at times he reverted back to his college days. Thinking he can outrun everybody to the sideline. I think he has to learn in this league that, you know, you have 6'4", 280-pound guys that can run a 4.5. You're not going to beat them to the outside. You're playing fast guys each and every week. So your strength as a runner is between the tackles. Now, you might get outside every once in a while, but your strength as a running back, they drafted you because they want you to run between the tackles. You're 6'3", 245 pounds. You shouldn't be trying to bounce the ball outside all the time. And I'm not saying he does, but he needs to work to his strength. I think eventually his strength will be tackle to tackle, running people over, and then in the fourth quarter, as all big backs do, you don't want to tackle him in the fourth quarter. So I thought they gave him ample enough opportunity, and he may do on some of it. Some of it he didn't. I
think the question – this is a fascinating dynamic for the Titans in the offseason. Mm-hmm. What do they do with DeMarco Murray? What do they do with the draft? What do they do with free agency? What do they do with Derrick Henry? It's a fascinating combination of factors for what the running game is going to look like, and we don't even know what Matt LaFleur really wants to do with the running game. So I don't know. I've got some thoughts on it. We'll come back and kind of finish up the conversation. What do we expect the Titans' backfield to look like? I think it's a fair question.
615-737-1025. We'll tackle that when we come back. And also, on tap tonight, we're live at the Ford Ice Center on ESPN 102.5 The Game. .45 on this Wednesday. Welcome back in. It is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the Ford Ice Center, 615-737-1025. We will get to On Tap tonight in just a couple of minutes, so that's coming up. Stay tuned for that. Darren and Donick at the top of the hour. We will begin our curling session shortly after the show. So if you want to see us make a fool out of ourselves, there's like 35 different ways you can probably view it. Yep. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, the website, thegamenational.com.
Chaz from Promotions is here, so
yeah.
He'll figure it out for us.
It's going to be very good, so we will have a blast doing so. One thing, though, we wanted to get back into real quickly with Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. The amount of carries he got last year, it's almost like this is kind of where I feel coming in, you know, as the new guy. It's, all right, part of it tells me Derrick Henry's done enough to kind of get out of the shadows of DeMarco Murray, but I'm still a little cautious as to whether or not he is the guy. It's almost like kind of similar with like Cousins and the Redskins. Like, they want to give him the opportunity, but they don't want to commit all into him.
Yeah, and I think that certainly there's the big difference between quarterback and running back is only one of them can play. I think we have to start the conversation for running back in that we live in a world where we now don't have a feature back. Mm-hmm. Like, we live in an NFL world where you need two guys, maybe three guys, to be honest, to be really, truly explosive, dynamic, productive, versatile, you know, whatever you want to call it. You almost have to have two guys now, Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara. Like, you almost have to have two guys to be a really good team. I mean, how many running backs do the Patriots have? Like, 14? Like,
yeah.
They, you know, they got a billion of them. So I don't think it's a knock on Derrick Henry to say you need another type of player to package with him. If DeMarco Murray is fully healthy, I guarantee you Derrick Henry doesn't get all those carries this year. Mm-hmm. So it's about DeMarco being healthy and what can he give you. If he can give you another full season of health, then I want DeMarco Murray to be the starter because he's a better player than Derrick Henry. I love Derrick Henry as the complementary piece in that offense. He was given chances at major workloads against the Jags and the Chiefs at the end of the season in two critical games. He had, what, 28 carries for like 52 yards or something like that, under 2 yards a carry against Jacksonville. Very good defense. Mm-hmm. Chiefs, one of the worst defenses by the metrics, the worst rushing defense in the NFL, and he dominated them. I don't know if we learned anything from that.
So what it's almost what is he? I think the most important thing for Derrick Henry is this. It's not whether he can run the football or not, because I think he's a better-than-average runner in the National Football League. It's if, you know, we can give him all the shots in the world and all the chances in the world. If he can't pick up a blitz, if he can't protect the quarterback, if he can't catch a pass out of the backfield, I can't use him.
Yeah.
And Derrick Henry hasn't proven that he can pick up a blitz.
Marcus almost died against the Chiefs.
Yeah, he hasn't proven that he can be a adequate enough blocker in the Titans scheme passing that we can put him in there. He hasn't shown on a consistent basis that he can catch the football. So the old days of a running back just being a running back, they are over. If you can't pass protect and you can't catch the ball out of the backfield, then you are limiting yourself to plan. It's not what the coaches are doing. It's what you are doing. And Derrick Henry, as good as I think he is running the football, he lacks in pass protection and catching the football out the backfield.
And unfortunately, this is not fair to him, but he has to overcome it. The fact that he's a Heisman winner and went to Alabama makes him automatically very popular and polarizing and noticeable and very famous in this market with people in this town, because he's an Alabama grad who won a national title and won a Heisman. He has to overcome all of that to prove that he's that player in the NFL, not just like we were talking Lamar Jackson, sort of this novelty thing. Being a Heisman winner is a novelty in the NFL. It means nothing. Mm-hmm. Playing in Alabama means nothing in the NFL. What matters is, do you produce? This is a meritocracy in the NFL. Are you good? You get paid and you play. If you're not, then you don't. And he has to sort of overcome that, because there's some people are more interested in him because of those things, and they pay more attention to him because of those things. And he has to overcome that and show it. None of that matters. I'm a star in the NFL. I'm going to be a starting running back.
All right, Josh, let's get to On Tap tonight.
You've had a long day. It's time to see what's worth watching and what's not. Here's what's on tap tonight, now on Morning Drive.
All right, fellas, I will lead it off tonight for On Tap tonight. We've got a day off till the Preds get back on the ice, so they will take on the Sharks tomorrow. But I'll go college basketball. I will stay in the SEC. I will go with Alabama-Auburn tonight.
Iron Bowl, baby.
Iron Bowl.
There
you go. What we got tonight.
There you go.
No McLemore for Auburn. Obviously, Colin Sexton and the crew of Avery Johnson and the Tide roll into the Plains. Should be a good one. I will take Alabama-Auburn tonight.
8-point favorite, the Tigers, in that game. That should be a really good game. Also, of course, in the SEC, as we are in bubble watch, yesterday you had Missouri lose. You had Arkansas lose. You had Texas A&M lose. So not a good night last night for college basketball in the SEC for the bubble. Tennessee hosts Florida tonight, and anytime those two get together, it is fun to watch. Tennessee, a 4-point favorite, Thompson Bowling tonight. So I'm still not caught up with all my Sunday night, premiere or whatever, HBO Showtime, whatever it's called. I still got to catch up on a few things from that, but I'm all in on Florida and Tennessee, and I might actually watch. I'm still all over pitchers and catchers reporting. I'm still nerding out on that stuff. I'm like, oh, I want to hear what Eric Hosmer has to say about signing his contract with the Padres. Nobody cares about that but me.
I'm going to catch up on a few things, Showtime, that I need to catch up on that I taped.
Do you watch Smilf? Have you watched that?
I hadn't watched that
yet. You got to check that out. It's very interesting. It's sort of a dark comedy.
Uh-huh.
Half hour. It's about a single mom. It's really funny stuff, though. You should check it out.
I need to watch that, yeah. I did need to watch that.
Smilf. I'm not going to tell you what it stands for.
Me either. I know what it stands for. And then three games that I'm interested in. Alabama-Auburn. I want to see that game. Check out a little bit of Villanova. And Xavier. Villanova is because, you know, obviously people think Villanova and Xavier, Michigan State are the three top teams, along with Duke, the four top teams in college basketball. But Villanova had a big win versus Xavier. How do they, you know, come off that big win, play DePaul, and then Xavier play as well. But UT and Florida, that's going to be a good matchup as well. You know, does Florida beat UT? They're playing in Knoxville, right?
Yep.
Yeah, go down to Knoxville. Can they beat them, or can Florida pull upset and beat UT in Knoxville?
Chaser, what random NHL Eastern Conference game are you watching?
Exactly.
This is actually a Western Conference game that Preds fans should probably pay attention to. The Dallas Stars head to Anaheim to take on the Ducks tonight.
Should we root for like an earthquake? No, okay, that's bad.
No, I'm not going there.
Is that too much?
I'm not going there.
And then also, I'm changing the subject. And then also, the Flames take on the Golden Knights tonight. So two in Chicago plays two, but who cares?
It is inappropriate to root for your rivals to get injured.
Yes,
that's inappropriate.
Yes.
Human behavior. What if like you? What if Radulov tears an ACL and then has a miraculous recovery immediately following the postseason?
See, I don't care about him anymore. You're caught up in the past.
No, there's past, but also present. He could be the guy that knocks you out of the playoffs this year.
He could be.
That's a good team, Dallas.
Oh, yeah, final update on the poll.
Yes, so our stupid poll question of the day, I think this might have been the most popular one to date. And, Braden, you are going to have to bring this up tonight on Smashville Live.
I will.
Would you rather play hockey like Roman Josi or look like Roman Josi? 57% say play hockey like Roman Josi.
Okay.
43% look like Josi.
I'm playing hockey.
How do I bring – okay, honestly, how am I supposed to ask? By the way, Smashville Live tonight, 7 o'clock. Come down to Tin Roof on Broadway. Roman Josi, your captain, will be there with Hal Gill and myself. If you can't obviously make it down there, which you should try, you can check it out on 102.5 The Game at 7 o'clock. How does one ask the captain of the Nashville Predators?
I think you ask
Hal. Would you rather look like yourself or play like yourself? How do you ask him that?
Ask Hal Gill in front of Roman.
How's actually a model?
I would rather play like Josi than – because like you said, I mean, once I get all
account.
The money, yeah.
I want the bank account.
I mean, I'm a handsome guy anyway, so it wouldn't really matter with me.
Right. And Hal's the same. Like, Hal has the bank account, too. Like, let's not be – he didn't have Josi money, but Hal played for, like, 19 years in the NHL. He's got plenty of cash.
Oh, yeah.
And Hal's a model, literally a model now. So
with Josi money,
I'll ask him, though.
It doesn't matter how you look. You can get the girl. No matter how you look.
All right, so big programming announcement coming up on Friday. We will have Paul Feinbaum on the show, 9 o'clock, right, Chase?
Yep.
So we'll talk to Paul on Friday at 9. We'll be back tomorrow at 6. Many thanks to Greg Wyshynski of ESPN for talking some NHL with us, Willie Donick and Rick Bird. We've got curling coming up next.
Yes.
And also, obviously, Darren and Donick coming up right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from the Ford Ice Center. Make sure you check out all of the game's social media accounts to see all of us looking incredibly pathetic doing curling.
Yes.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, I love you.
In case you missed it, yesterday on Darren and Donick.
So let's go to Howard Balzer.
There are 20 teams for this season will have different offensive coordinators than the coordinator that started the 2017 season. That does not speak of continuity and stability.
To catch the full interview.